Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Now, I want to pick it up and start reading in verse 16, read through the end of the chapter. I'm going to be focusing on verse 18 today. Knowing that a man is not justified, we dealt with that the last two Pure Bible Studies we did on justification. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, period. The end. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Very simply, very quickly, we didn't do it. We couldn't do it. We can't do it. We will not keep the law. Not the way God requires it. Not the way God requires 100% adherence to every law. That's what he said. Go read Deuteronomy 28. God specifically gave a blessing and a curse to anyone who kept all the laws, all of them, and a curse to anyone who did not keep all of the laws. What he said. You're going to find these people who are going to play these little monkey games with words in the Bible. Well, all doesn't mean all. All doesn't mean every one of them. Christ didn't do that. Yeah, whatever. So our faith and our confidence should never be in us. I guarantee you, my faith and my confidence and my trust is not in me. It's not in how good I can be for a couple of days. It's not how good I can be for the rest of my life. It is how good Christ was, is, and always will be. My faith and confidence is that Christ will carry me into glory, and I will not go there on my own. Haven't before, am not now, nor will I ever be in a position to carry myself into glory. That's all the doctrine of justification. We're justified. And I've heard preachers, you know, when I was growing up, just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justification means. Now, verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, I want you to pay attention to that. While he's talking to, he's not talking to the drunkards and whoremongers and the politicians out there. He's talking to church people. If we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin, God forbid. For if I build again, here's what we're going to focus on today. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And I was thinking, as I read that verse, I was thinking about things that were built, things that God destroyed, things that after God destroyed it, people try to build it again. Okay? Verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen. Amen. I am so thankful for God's mercy, God's grace, for the doctrines that we have in this Bible, that it is by our trust and our confidence, our boasting is in Christ and not us. If any part of salvation was based upon our performance, our good works, our adherence to any part of the law, if any part of our salvation was hinged upon that, we would boast about it. We would boast ourselves against other people. We already do it. And so it is by faith. You can't brag about faith. It's just something you believe in. Faith in Christ is an admittance of guilt that you can't do the works of the law. And I'll be the first to say, I can't. Okay? And I know a lot of good, decent Christians good pastors, good men of God, pastors' wives, church people. I get the opportunity to meet these people all over the country, even in Kenya. And I know they're God's people. I know that they are saved, but they're saved by grace through faith. And they put no confidence in themselves. They know better. All right? Stay away from that bragging crowd. It's always boasting and bragging about how righteous they are, about how everybody else is bad. I have learned that 9 times out of 10 times, that's a cover. It's a cover-up of personal wickedness that they're trying to divert. Their guilty conscience is trying to divert their own conscience and everybody else's attention away from them to all these bad people out here. They're bad. I'm good. I'm just letting you know, that's a cover. All right? Now, things that were built that God destroyed, that man wants to rebuild. The first thing I thought of was Babel. Let's go to Genesis 11. And there was something else that came into my mind, too, from the book of Joshua. A curse that was placed upon the city of Jericho. All right? We'll get there in a minute. Anyway, Genesis chapter 11. If you've seen, I did a video at the early days of this ministry called the Babel Conspiracy. And it deals with things related to 9/11, the New World Order, things like that. There is a video of this. There is a book of this. All right. If you contact our ministry, and we'll try to get that out to you. But anyway, they built or were in the process of building the stairway to heaven. All right. And God said, I'm not going to let you do that one now. All right. Watch this. Genesis 11:1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That would be Sumeria. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, if you get out your can of King James Pure Bible Search software and open that can up, if you highlight verse 3, the words, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly, and find that count. And then highlight in verse 4 what they said again. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The total number of words there is 46. Now, I don't think that's an accident. I really don't. Especially in the light of, if you think of, in Pure Bible Study, almost never, we never use PowerPoint slides, things like that. But if you go look at what a ziggurat is, not a cigarette, a ziggurat, any kind of pyramid-shaped object starts, you know, wide down here and works its way up here by way of levels. A pyramid, ziggurats, these Mayan temples, these Aztec temples. All over the world, you've got pyramids. The Bosnian pyramid. I believe the Bosnian pyramid. I think that mountain there has the shape of a four-sided pyramid. And I think that these structures were built by giants. Can't prove it because I don't have any photographs of them building it. But that's what I think. And but anyway, it doesn't take much to see and understand that in today's world, man's attempt at ascending to the heights and raising himself up is what's behind the idea of man's evolution. He is yearning and desiring to evolve to a higher state, a higher form, literally a God. Just like Genesis chapter 3, where in your King James Bible, the serpent, as he spoke to Eve, go count those words up as well. 46 words exactly. That number relates to man's DNA. It is the packages the number of packages that man's DNA is stored in. So, and you think about the tabernacle, 20 boards down the south side, 20 boards down the north, 6 across the back, 46 where the DNA was, the book of the law, all the instructions for the Israelites and how God was going to make them, that was in the DNA of that's the word of God. In Solomon's temple, the two pillars, Jachin and Boaz, 23 cubits tall apiece, 46. Herod's temple, Jesus said, destroy this temple. And they said, and he said, in 3 days, I'll build it again. They said, 40 and 6 years, where are we making this temple? 46, where the word of God is. It's like your cell. It's like your body. All right. And here's the thing. There's no doubt in my mind that man's ascendancy in today's world is going to be based upon the, I'll say the alteration, but I will also say the reconstruction of his DNA. Man is going to alter himself and finish the work that they started in the days of Babel. Let's continue reading. After they said the 46 words, God said in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Anytime where it says the Lord came down, you're looking at a picture of Christ's second coming or his first coming. He's coming down now. And I think this is a foreshadowing. Genesis 11, that which was is that which shall be, the Bible says. I think Genesis 11 is a foreshadow of things that are coming. Man is going to ascend to a higher form that is going to involve altering his DNA. In what way? Daniel chapter 2, in the vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw, he saw those 10 toes. And the interpretation was they were mingled with iron and clay. They, the iron kingdom, these spirits, shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And at that point, man thinks, okay, we've got the God DNA in us now. Let's go be gods. Okay? And here's what happens. The Lord comes down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And I want you to consider this. This takes place right after the flood. And so from this point forward, all these people then that lived in the plain of Shinar in Babel, they're watching this pyramid or this ziggurat being built when God divides their languages, and they are then divided up into families. And then he scatters them. Then he divides, I think, the landmass. And in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided, the Bible says. And I think these people, once they split up, their religious concept was to build this thing again. And I think this is one of the reasons. I think some of them predate the flood. That's my little theory. But I think some of them obviously built after the flood. The concept of that was given to them at the Tower of Babel. And once they scattered to their individual places, they take back up the work of man's ascendancy. I think in these latter days, mankind is going to do exactly what Paul said. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Okay? So I think that this story here, you're getting a lot of me saying, I think. You think for yourself. Okay? You go back to the Bible and say, God, is Mike Hoggard right or is he an idiot? And God will probably say, well, a little of both, okay? Anyway, I think this is a prophetic picture of what's going on right now. DNA augmentation, CRISPR DNA editing system, so easy, so cheap. Nations are going to do it. Rogue nations, companies all over the world. Billions of dollars are to be made here. And man is going to once again try to rebuild that which had been put a stop to by God. And it's all based upon, in verse 6, their imagination. This is why I tell people, watch out for your imagination. Your imagination is the weaker side of your brain. It comes from the right side. You draw pictures of what you think things are. And when people lie, lies usually come from this side of their brain. Why? Because instead of the knowledge of the truth, which is on this side of the brain, this is the logical side. This part over here, before you tell a lie, you have to draw a picture of what it looks like in your mind. And so that's when you start to tell, well, what really happened was you're drawing a picture in your mind. Cops, they look for these things. They look for these little tells that people are lying and they're making a story of. Anyway, I won't go into that. But anyway, this I think is going to happen. It's based upon the imagination of man. We already see the imagination of man being carried to places that nobody ever thought of before. The whole comic book thing. I've got a video series called The Comic Con. And I deal with the ideas and concepts that come out of these comic books. I was a comic book reader when I was a young man, a boy. I loved Superman. All right, wanted to be Superman. I wonder how far away we are in this world of actually turning people into Superman. And believe it or not, there's millions of people all over the world that would gladly go get in line for that. Okay? So anyway, I think that mankind is going to take back up the Tower of Babel in a way that nobody has ever seen before. I think it's going to be based upon his DNA. And I think that is going to make them and turn them over to a reprobate mind. They are going to be the transgressors that Paul spoke of here in verse 18. Then we get into, and Babel is Babylon. We get into types and shadows. Jericho is Babylon. It's a foreshadowing of Babylon. What is it about Jericho? When Joshua, when the Levite priest walked around 13 times and they blew the seven trumpets on the seventh day. And what happened to Jericho? The walls fell. That's what God said in Jeremiah 51 concerning Babylon is fallen, and the walls fall down. The walls of Babylon are going to fall down. And so anyway, we have this picture here of Jericho, and it is a foreshadowing of things to come. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. This is after the raid on Jericho has begun. And Joshua saved Rahab. I love that. I love that. Joshua, playing the part of Jesus of Nazareth here, is a man by the name of Joshua. Playing the part of you and I is a woman by the name of Rahab. Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive. And her father's household. And all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. She's in the lineage in Matthew chapter 1. Okay? My personal thinking is one of those two spies married her. Okay? I think they just kind of looked at, you know, that look. Okay? But anyway, she is one of the mothers of Jesus Christ. Boy, I love that. Anyway. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his name was noised throughout all the country. So there's a curse here. Once Jericho has been destroyed, or now that it's been destroyed, Joshua proclaims a curse. I think this is given by the Lord. Cursed be the man that riseth up. What did John see in Revelation 13? A beast rising up out of the sea. Okay? But cursed be the man that buildeth this city of Jericho. Somebody's going to come along and rebuild it. All right? 1 Kings 16. Somebody did. Because it was around even in the days of Christ. 1 Kings 16:29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, think about it, Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. 22 is the number for revelation. Something revealed here. Think of the man of sin being revealed. All right. But anyway, think of the times that the city of Jericho is rebuilt. It's in the time of Ahab the king. And Ahab is a wicked ruler. He's got his wife, Jezi of Baal, Jezebel. He's got his wife who, she has her prophets, her fellows. Ahab's got all these lying prophets to him. Everybody in Israel's corrupt, the 10 northern tribes. They're all corrupt as can be, and it's during the days of this corruption that this man decides to rebuild Jericho. And take that then and apply it to the world we live in right now. And I'm recording this 2 weeks before the presidential election of 2016. I do not know yet who's going to be the president. But I can tell you, we've already been in a time where evil is very prominent and evil reigns over large portions of this country. Now, there's still some decent places in America, don't get me wrong. But every place in America is becoming more and more corrupt. But it's like that all over the world. There is this wickedness and corruption and worshiping these false gods. That's taking place everywhere. And so I think this is all prophetic. I think something gets rebuilt that had once been destroyed. And you're supposed to take this and apply it to your life. Because that's how Paul mentioned it. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Okay? So, you hear me talk about Roy all the time in our church. Roy, I love him. Bless his heart. He's always very open and honest about his alcoholism, being a drunkard. And there was one day where it almost killed him. And he finally just kind of woke up and God saved him. But there was a day where, I don't remember if it was him or his wife, just went through the house, the basement, the shed, the garage, out back where there's a high patch of weeds or whatever, and broke every vodka and whiskey bottle in the house. Dumped that stuff out, got rid of it. Today is a new day. We're not going to drink anymore. And he knows. He knows that that never leaves him. God has not removed that thorn from him. So he knows he has limitations. And so if he then goes back and buys up a bunch more liquor and hides it in different places in his house, in his truck, and every other place, what is he doing? He's rebuilding the things that he had destroyed one day. And in that, he makes himself a transgressor. People, don't ever forget the day that you decided you were going to live for the Lord and you were going to walk away from sins and transgressions as much as you are able to. And you went around just destroying the old lifestyle. And here's what I've seen. I remember years ago, I had a lady come to me. I was just a young minister. I didn't have the life experience that I have now. God helped me with a little wisdom. She came to me and wanted to know if she had been in church for years, been saved. And she wanted to know if it was okay. She was going back to the bingo hall and going dancing. And she wanted to know, she was trying to justify it. So she came to me privately and she was asking me about it. She said, Bible didn't, I don't see anything wrong with it. Bible didn't say anything about it. So why can't I go play bingo? Why can't I go dancing? And the Lord gave me this response. So I said, let me ask you a question. Do you remember when you got saved? Yes. Remember how God convicted you of things in your life? Yes. I said, name some things that God took away from you and you decided that you weren't going to do this stuff anymore and you weren't going to be a part of that anymore. And she knew where I was getting to, and she said, bingo and dancing. And I said, yep. So if God took those away from you when you got saved, why are you trying to put them back in? She said, I hadn't thought about that. I said, that came from God. That's not from me. So, you know, you tell God about it. But that's the idea here. And we have these illustrations in the Bible, things that God destroyed. And man says, well, we don't see anything wrong with it. We're going to build it back up again. So in the days of Ahab, now there's this evil spirit now all over the people. And it's in times like this that Jericho or Babylon gets rebuilt. The Tower of Babel is kick-started back into working order again. All right. Verse 30, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And in his days did Hiel the Bethelite, that would be the anti-Bethel, Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. Think about it. Here's Ahab. Here's Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the worshiper of Baal. We have Baal, who is the god now, who is in charge. We have that Baal spirit in the children of disobedience. And so some guy named Hiel, who happens to be from Bethel. Think about it. He's from Bethel, and in a day where this evil, wicked spirit reigns and there is no revival anywhere, that's when that kind of stuff just sort of kicks into play. And people, it's like this lady that she wanted to go dancing and play bingo again, all right? Now, again, you may say, well, I don't see that. No, it's not in the Bible, okay? But just remember something. God always has a reason why He takes stuff out of us. He always knows better than we do. And while we may justify what we do and say, well, I don't see anything wrong with this, and so this can't hurt me because I don't see anything wrong with it, God is going, you have no idea how bad you're going to get hurt by this. You have no idea. Okay? So learn to trust God. And if God destroys something, don't go back behind Him trying to build it back up again. Because God knows that spirits love to build strongholds in a person's life. And usually, I mean, you've heard me talk about, you know, where dragons live and where all these, I preached that at the Prophecy Roadshow down in Gainesville. And we have it online now. It's called Dominion of the Beasts. It's just a little bit different take on this idea of anytime you take the Word of God out of a person's life or a home or a church or a ministry or a nation, anytime you remove the Word of God out of that, what happens is now all these devils come in to roost and nest in your life. And Babylon and all the things that you used to be that God took away from you, you'll start building it back again. Probably worse than you were before. Okay? Here's another illustration of this. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Think about this for a minute. The Philistines, this is verse 1. The Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. Okay? Dagon is where the priests wear the little fish hats. They look like Catholic Church mitres. All right? The bishop's mitre. The Catholic Church bishop's mitre is the headdress of the priests of Dagon. Dagon was a fish god, and these look like a fish head. All right? And they, by the way, fish rise up out of the sea. Okay? It's just the religion of the Antichrist is what it is. So they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, even Dagon knows that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Dagon is fallen. Because he's going to fall twice here. How did that happen? And think about this. Here you have a God that the Philistines think is so powerful and so mighty. And yet when he falls down, it's the Philistines that have to pick him up again. And they don't get it. They don't go, oh, there's our holy God. He's fallen. Let's pick him back up and put him in his rightful place. Well, if he's God, he can do that himself. He don't need your help. All right? This, you'll see videos like this. There's one in particular where these guys are coming in this Catholic church with this great big statue of Mary sitting on a throne or something like that. And they're carrying it into the church. And all of a sudden, the carrier thing tilts a little bit. And the idol comes falling off and crashes and breaks all over the ground. And everybody's going, oh, no. Oh, Maria, she's fallen. Oh, no, we must put her back together. If she's that powerful, she can get up. Anyway, when they of Ashdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. They rebuilt him. When they arose early in the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground and before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. So now they got this little superstition. Oh, we can't touch the threshold. That's where our God fell. And just look at how ridiculous this is. But here you have another picture. Okay? God took your God and made him submit to the Most High God's authority. And he fell down. And so what people do is they go back and they prop back up their old God, their old idol, their old lust and desires and covetousness. They prop it back up. They build it back up again. Okay? It's like, go back to a drunkard. It's like a guy has got a bottle in his hand. He swears he's not going to take another drink. Rolls the window down to the car, throws the bottle out the car door. He hears the glass crash and he's going, whew, I'm free. 2 hours later, he's driving to the liquor store to buy another bottle. Okay? And that's just, I mean, that's what's in us, people. Let me show you what this looks like in the Bible as far as doctrine is concerned. Proverbs 26:11 is a verse that was referenced in the New Testament. And it goes like this. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. God is the one who designed dogs. Now, I love dogs, okay? I had dogs when I was growing up. We had rabbit dogs, one of the best rabbit dogs. He was part beagle and part German shepherd. His name was Snoopy, and I loved that dog. And I remember when that dog died, I drug that dog down in the woods and I buried him and I cried. I prayed. That was my dog. Okay. So, but God designed them. When we kept our dogs in a pen, it was a big pen, gave them lots of room to move around. They had a little dog house. I fed them, watered them every day. And every now and then Dad would let them out and let them run. And we had a sewage lagoon, a cesspool, and sure enough, as soon as they'd get let out of that pen, they'd run right for that cesspool and dive in it. Just come out shaking black everywhere. Ugh. But a dog will vomit and then turn to it and lick it back up again. God designed them that way because He wants to teach us something. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. I want you to catch that. You know how to avoid that? Quit being a fool. Read and study this Bible and learn it, and God will give you wisdom. And you'll say, I'm not going back to that again. Okay? That's what will happen. God will convince you that going back to that stuff, it's not worth it. All right? Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 uses that verse as an illustration concerning those who follow, those who they come to the Lord in a decent church, and then they're snatched up by all these false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing. And listen to what Peter had to say. In verse 17, he said, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, now verse 20 here, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. My choir director, we were friends in high school, and we remained friends even to this day. He's moved out from the area, so I don't see him much anymore. But he had a tremendous sense of humor, and he had a plaque on the door of his office that said, never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig. And I'm going, there's wisdom in that. Okay? If you take a hog, an old sow, put lipstick on her lips, pearl necklace around her, put some nice earrings in her ears, put a little dress on her, clean her up real good, she's going to go back to the wallowing in the mud and the mire. Okay? You haven't made the pig better. You've ruined the lipstick is what you've done. Okay? And that's what happens with people. Now, the question is, are they saved? And did they lose their salvation? Or were they false converts? I tend to believe that they were false converts. They were people like the good seed. The seed is thrown on the wayside. The seed is sown among stony ground and thorny ground. These are church people that are not going to heaven because they refuse the fruitfulness of the Word of God. They won't let it grow and become fruitful in their lives. They are false brethren. False converts. What did Jude say? Certain men crept in unawares. They make a temporary decision to follow Christ, but they are never sealed by the Holy Spirit and become sons of God. And they reject the things that have been brought to them. And when they do that, the latter end of them is worse than it was at the beginning of them. And so they are the ones who, after God destroyed the old life, they stayed in church for a while, And then piece by piece began to go back and rebuild the things that God destroyed. And when they do that, they make themselves a transgressor, Paul said. Let me read a couple verses very quickly that illustrates that. Psalm 70, verse 2, "Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt." And listen, there's people and pastors and churches all across the country that hate Bible-believing Christians, believe it or not. They hate it, and they hate the Bible, too. They hate the King James Bible. God's going to put them to confusion and turn them backward. Genesis 19. Think of someone turning back. Verse 23, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The latter end was worse than her beginning." Her beginning was God was leading her out of destruction. Her end was she was destroyed. Isaiah 59:14, "Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Jeremiah 7:24, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." See that? They walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart. And I just did 2 PMOs recently on the law of attraction. And what it is, it's all about covetousness. It's all about you lusting and dreaming up in your mind what you want. And these people are telling you that God will then give that to you because you imagined it. And God says, when you follow and walk after the counsels of your own wicked heart and your own imagination, their own things that you dream up in your mind, God says you're going backward. And you know what's backward? Mount Sinai. You know what's there? The curse of the law. Jeremiah 15:6, and this applies to the Hebrew roots people and all the Seventh-day Adventists and the Roman Catholics and everybody else who believes in keeping the law or keeping part of the law to get saved or whatever. Oh, we go to church on the Sabbath, Saturday. We don't have the mark of the beast like you Sunday worshipers do. No, they've got the curse of the law back on them, because while they boast about keeping one law, the fourth commandment, they're guilty of breaking all the others. That's what they are. If a man offends the law in one point, he is guilty of all. Jeremiah 15:6, "Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting." That's the big one there. Weary of repenting. You know, I believe in God's grace. I believe in His mercy. I do. And I know all about it. But I can tell you, it's better if you don't transgress than if you do transgress and have to be forgiven. It's better if you just don't do it. But keep in mind, people, the devil is going to show up with bricks and mortar, and he's going to say, "Hey, you want to have some fun? Remember all that old stuff you used to do? Here's a brick, here's some mortar. Let's rebuild the good old days, shall we? Let's do that." No, I don't think so. I'm a different person now, devil. Okay? Let me say this and I'll leave. Those of us who have been out of high school for a few years, that gang that we used to run with in high school, and I had good buddies in high school. We had common interests, music, and, you know, some of us church and different things like that. There's not a one of them that I'm friends with. I've friended some of them on Facebook, and they've unfriended me. I'm not going to go back and let's get the old gang together and let's do some of the weird stuff that we did in high school. No, that was back when I spake as a child and understood as a child. I've grown up and I've put off childish things. I'm not going to go back and try to rekindle the old gang that you know, we used to run together all the time and think that we can be friends, because all of us have gone different ways in life, and we probably all see the world entirely different than one from another. And I just, it's just not who I am. Don't go back, people. Don't go back building again those things that God helped you to destroy. Okay? You make yourself a transgressor, like the guy that rebuilt Jericho, and like this world that's going to rebuild the Tower of Babel. All right? Well, it's good to be with you today. Appreciate your love and appreciation for us here, your prayers, your support. May God bless you for that. And we will continue in Galatians. Let's talk about, being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. All right? We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.